The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 4 o'clock happier happy hour. It rolls on. I got a fine guest. He's stuck around. He's Jay Hack from Common Cause, Wisconsin. And Jay, you and I had a little kerfluffle on air one day talking about indefinite confinement. And this is theoretically a loophole where you could possibly get a ballot in the state of Wisconsin without voter ID. And we know that voter ID has been upheld by the courts. I don't like it. You don't like it. But ever since, what, Posner and Indiana wrote an opinion, they've been using that to justify it all around the nation. But here's, damn it, I forgot what we were talking about, Jay. I got so stuck talking about some justice in Indiana. Voter ID and indefinite confinement. And indefinite confinement, because of the pandemic, we saw a massive growth from like 67,000 up to 250,000, 15,000 that declared themselves indefinitely confined. Now, first and foremost, Jay, who put this rule on the books? This must be some Democratic chicanery, right?
No, you know, first of all, the Wisconsin Elections Commission put this into place. And what your listeners need to understand is the Wisconsin Elections Commission was established with only Republican votes in 2015. It replaced the Government Accountability Board. And they gave the Wisconsin Elections Commission the power to make a decision like this. And the decision was that during the pandemic, if you opted to get an absentee ballot and you wanted it to be continually sent to you, you could declare yourself what's called indefinitely confined, and you would automatically receive then your ballot in the mail, and then you would be able to vote by absentee ballot. That was approved by all the Republican commissioners on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. There was nothing, this was not a liberal conspiracy by any means. And it made a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of people voted this way because there was COVID raging now as then in 2020 during the election season, and it was a safer way to vote. It's still a safer way to vote.
Well, ironically, it's the way
that trying to restrict it would be a mistake.
Well, Rebecca Clayfish, the former lieutenant governor, utilized the indefinitely confined and voted that way at least twice last year, apparently in the spring primary, later in the partisan summer primary. You know, it doesn't age well if you did it just last year, but part of her elective campaign is basically to do away with indefinite confinement. Didn't she have to first change her ballot status before she could take that advocacy, Jay?
Yeah, she did. And of course, she blamed a staff person, I think, for doing this. But here's the thing that people need
Jay,
to understand.
Don't staffers register you to vote and go out and cast your ballots for you? By proxy, right?
I don't. Unfortunately, I have no staffers. But if I did, I would make them do that. That's right. You know, so here's the thing people need to understand. You know, voting by absentee ballot it makes a lot of sense. A lot of states do it completely. Oregon, for instance, does it completely by mail. There is no in-person voting. Other states do that too. But especially during a time of a pandemic, it makes a great deal of sense to do it. Now, the reason Republicans and Rebecca Clayfish hate it so much is they have calculated cynically that for whatever reason, they think more Democrats than Republicans vote by absentee ballot. So they say, well, if we can restrict the number of people, including people, by the way, who are disabled, then that will result in more Republican victories. It's just it's a cynical way to look at elections, but that's what they've chosen to do. There's no fraud involved with it. There's not been a single incident of voting fraud uncovered through an absentee ballot cast during the 2020 election. And yet that's the narrative that they continue to put out there.
Well, they can't prove any evidence of fraud. I mean, Gableman can't, the election audit didn't, the LAB didn't, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, none of them offer any evidence of fraud. So no. Their entire argument comes down to the suspicion of their yes. voters. And of course, they gin up this suspicion by casting false aspersions. So it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right, Jay? That works out well for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. It's what Scott Walker used to say. He said, well, even if there's only one incident of voter fraud, that's enough for us to impose voter ID and these restrictions because of the sanctity of the ballot. Wrong. You can't disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of people because you want to. You're so cynical about winning the election that you're going to raise the specter of one person committing voter fraud. By the way, it's a felony to commit voter impersonation, and has been for many, many years in Wisconsin.
And Jay, if I recall correctly, when there was a federal voter ID trial, the Republicans offered not even one singular incident of in-person voting fraud. They offered zero incidents. They offered zero evidence, Jay. Jay Hack, my fine guest from Wisconsin. Let me think about that. Common Cause of Wisconsin. Common Cause Wisconsin. Jay, I'm so anxious to talk about Gableman before we run out of time. Sure. I certainly find him to be corrupted. I never had any respect for the man all the way back to his election. But, I mean, this is just getting to the point of ridiculousness. This is clearly just a witch hunt, very McCarthy-esque. And all the man has to do is cast aspersions and keep the suspicions alive. And I think he's accomplishing his goals. Jay, do you see any other motive?
No. And, you know, Robin Voss, I think, is going to find this become increasingly uncomfortable for himself the longer this goes on.
Good.
Because this guy is, as you mentioned, $700,000 of tax money, and can't even conduct an investigation, which you perfectly outlined the failure of his own attorney to be. He doesn't even know whether they get monthly reports from Gableman to Robin Voss. So there is this sham investigation. We haven't even talked about the Racine County sheriff investigation, which is nowhere to be found. This was, remember in November, this was a big deal. These people in Racine County were thought to be fraudulently voting because nursing home attendants were marking their ballots. It is such a ridiculous thing that not even the Racine County district attorney will touch it. It was the sheriff of Racine County, a Trump supporter, and his deputy who concocted this whole thing just for, as you said, the same thing that Michael Gableman's doing to try to keep the conspiracy alive. And I think people are going to be tired of it. I think they are tired of it. And they don't like the fact that their taxpayer money is being used to pay for it.
Jerry, I find it very ironic that the Racine County Sheriff that wants to charge Wisconsin elections commissioners with felonies for giving advice during a pandemic, all except for Bob Spindell, the guy that signed the fraudulent Trump elector certificate. He's the good one as far as the Trumpsters are concerned. Jay Hack, you're a good guy. I appreciate you coming around from Common Cause, Wisconsin. I won't wait so long to call you again. Thanks, Jay.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Now stick around. This show is done, but Earl Ingram's next. You're going to want to hear it all right here on Devil Radio. Keep it locked.